This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. This video is sponsored by Voxy.
Hello and welcome to another Blues Focus preview. Today we are joined by Jay from That Millwall Podcast, head of probably Birmingham's biggest game of the season tomorrow at the Den. How are you doing, Jay?
Not too bad. Thank you very much for having me. It's not really the type of position that either of us want to be in, but this is where we find ourselves. And as you said, yeah, massive game.
And it's a big game, especially because of the results recently. Obviously, Millwall got in Neil Harris now, 3 games in, 7 points accumulated, and it was a 1-1 draw against Blackburn, wasn't it? And how do you sort of summarise the game? Because looking at it from an outside perspective, you see Blackburn, and for us, obviously, we know John Eustace pretty well because he was our manager at the start of the season, and Blackburn had 70% possession, which I was shocked by because John Eustace football at Birmingham isn't really possession-based, and yet you guys had 30% of the ball. 3 shots, 1 on target. You made that shot on target count and come away with a point.
This is the thing with Harris Ball. We're not very used to having possession. We're probably a team that's better without possession. And we're structured very well. We keep our discipline and we keep our shape. And we just try and hit teams on the break. And that's what we've done in our 3 games under Harris so far. We took 7 points from 9. Southampton had 80% possession, you know, Watford, a very similar number. And Blackburn, as you just said, and it's not pretty on the eyes, but it's at the moment, it's getting the job done. And yeah, 7 points from 9 is a good return in what is turning out to be a very, very, very hard fight down at the bottom of the table.
Yeah, very hard fight indeed. I mean, we were just speaking before we went live, the fact that it's so congested down there. In one moment of the Championship, you can be sort of up there, and then next minute, you're looking over your shoulder. And there's 8 teams separated by just 2 points with Birmingham 20th, Millwall 18th. So in terms of the relegation battle, how do you see it going, like the twists and turns? Because, I mean, if the Championship, it's so unpredictable. But just if you were to give like a gist of what you may think happen.
This is the problem. Like in years past, you've been able to. But at the moment, I haven't got a clue. It seems like if you was to flip the table on its head over the last sort of 2 months, that would probably be where the table lies. You know, QPR keep winning games of football. Millwall have picked up good points on the road. You know, Sheffield Wednesday, they're putting in some really good performances, getting some wins under Danny Rowe, who I think is a really good manager in this league. And then you've got the likes of like yourself and us. And it is really, really tight down there. A lot of teams are getting dragged into it now. You know, you've got Middlesbrough, who got a good win the other night, but they were starting to drop into it. Plymouth are probably falling themselves into the pattern as well. So you can't really call it at the moment with teams like QPR, Sheffield Wednesday, Millwall, especially over the last month, picking up some valuable points. I know yourselves at Birmingham, before Tony Mowbray went out the dugout, you know, you started to put some results together. You know, you put a couple on the bounce. And with Mowbray not being there, I think that could be a big downfall for you going into the home stretch here. But, yeah, I really cannot predict anything at the moment, especially with the bogus results like QPR beating Leicester and then looked really good for 3 points against West Brom the other night, in my opinion, as well. And Rotherham gave Ipswich a really good run for their money the other night and Sheffield Wednesday picking up points. I would not like to be a predictor right now. So I'm glad we're only going to work on predicting one game's outcome this weekend, which will be ours. But I can't call anything. As long as we keep winning, and I'm sure for yourselves, as at the positions we're in at the moment, as long as we keep bettering the teams below us, we'll be fine.
Because Mill and Birmingham, I think, have had very similar seasons in terms of turbulence at both clubs, because both clubs have had three managers in charge this season, perhaps higher expectations than what has happened so far in the league. And I think with Mill, I look at the stats and that, and I see one of the stats that jumps out to me is goals scored. Not many goals scored. I think only the bottom three have scored less goals than Mill this season. So in terms of addressing that problem, how's Neil Harris gone about it so far?
He's had a tough time with it. You know, we lost Kevin Nisbet. We lost him to the season a month or so back, just by Christmas. We've lost Tom Bradshaw now, which seemingly looks like it could be for the end of the season. And we've never really got the big man that Harris likes. I mean, I know it hasn't been Harris's gig. He hasn't had a window where he's only been in relieving Joe Edwards over the last three games. But we tried to go for a big man in the January transfer window. We looked at Kiefer Moore. That didn't come off. So we're really limited. We've got some good young players, but when you're in a relegation battle, it's not really about tactics or about styles of play or how you're playing. It's about getting points. And the reason Harris was brought in was because there's no one better who knows the club more than Neil Harris, who can install belief at Millwall more than Neil Harris, and who can really hit the ground running because he knows the club so well. And we've only got 13 weeks from when Harris come in. So it's been hard for Harris to get what I think is probably his best 11, but the striking options has been a big problem for us all season. And we've just been lucky that in recent games we've managed to keep teams out. But that's the reason we're down the bottom. We're not putting teams away. We do well after 20 minutes. It was a pretty similar story every single week, where we'd look really good for 20 minutes. We'd go 1-0 up, and then the opposition would fake an injury or something would happen. They'd get time to go to the sideline. The opposing manager would adjust, and we wouldn't counter that. And then we'd fall behind, and the game would get away from ourselves through confidence, through just belief, just through not getting results in previous weeks, heads are low. But Harris has installed a Millwall way, if that's the best way to put it, where resolute defending, keep our discipline, keep our shape, and just be clinical with the one or two chances we might get. So, yeah, the striking options have been a real big problem, and no doubt something that will be addressed in the summer if hopefully we stay up.
And you speak about like sort of the patterns of Millwall games and how they've gone with Mill taking the lead and then other teams perhaps getting back at them. That's what happened in the reverse fixture at St Andrews, where Mill took the lead in that game and then we got an equaliser through Jay Stansfield. Both obviously different managers back then. We had John Eustace, you had Gary Rowett, a manager that we know pretty well.
Yeah.
In terms of sort of when Mill fans wanted Gary Rowett to depart, would you say that the sacking of Rowett was the right decision in terms of where Mill were trying to get to? Or do you think that the sacking was perhaps justified and it's just the wrong person you brought in afterwards?
Well, Rowett left mutually. I mean, we wasn't told that Rowett was sacked, and I wouldn't have really liked that it to go down that route, because Gary Rowett, I mean, for what other Millwall fans might say, the majority believe that Gary Rowett was a fantastic manager for Millwall. He stabilised us. You know, he brought in some really good players, and we almost pushed for a top six finish last season. You know, we kept creeping up, and this year really was meant to be the year that we were meant to kick on. We brought in Kevin Nisbet, who's, you know, a really good striker, out in Scotland, and we brought in Casper Denore, really good midfielder, captain of the under-21 Belgian side, and Ziyan Fleming. The hope was that he was going to follow on from last season. You know, he's got, I think, 10 goals now this season, but it just didn't fall for Rowett where we was progressing enough. And the problem with someone like Gary Rowett's style of football, and I'm sure yourselves with John Eustace, is that it's all fine when you're winning games. When you're winning games, it's not a problem, but when you start to go on a bad run, three or four games without a win, the style of football really does start to get scrutinised and come under fire. And I think that was Rowett's downfall. I think the game at Norwich away, I was there and we looked so bad, to the point where Norwich fans and Millwall fans were singing Gary Rowett's football is not very good, to put it in a nicer term. And in a light way, yeah. And he heard that and he acknowledged that. And these interviews after started to stray off in a more of a personal frustration point for him, and the time was coming, it really was. But I think the timing was probably wrong. It sounded like it was a Gary Rowett decision, because he left 3 days before the international window was over. If we was going to do it, you'd probably do it at the beginning of the international break. And then Joe Edwards coming in for me was the right guy at the wrong time. You know, good head, good coaching resume, you know, young, progressive, got good contacts in the Premier League and tried to take us forward. And sadly, it didn't work out for Edwards. Wish him well. But, you know, Harris is here now. And this is what we've got to do to the end of the season is ride with Harris.
And I remember Gary Rowett's interview actually on TalkSport, I think just after he departed Millwall, and he was very open and honest about what was happening at Millwall and these reasons for departing. So, I mean, with the whole replacement of Joe Edwards coming in, we try to do that similar approach where it's a sort of young English coach coming in, obviously someone that's a bit more well-known than Joe Edwards, but ended up the same way with us sort of plummeting down the table. There are a lot of sort of teams around the relegation zone, like Sheffield Wednesday, that have got a young manager in. Danny Roll is doing really well. And then also you look at Marty Cifuentes at QPR, young manager with fresh ideas. And with Birmingham Millwall, you've got managers that have been there, done it in the Championship. So in terms of like the different approaches to the relegation battle, would you say that our style is going to prevail with the more experienced managers? Or do you think these younger managers are going to overtake us?
The thing that benefits clubs like Birmingham and Millwall is that Tony Mowbray is up there with the Neil Warnocks of Championship managers. You know, he's so experienced. If Tony Mowbray was available when Rowett left us, he'd have been one of the top of my list. You know, Tony Mowbray suits a club like Millwall. He suits Birmingham, what I like to call one of the very few old-fashioned football clubs. The trouble with going with the young route and the progressive route is that managers don't get a lot of time now. But especially at clubs like Birmingham and Millwall, where the fans are hardened fans, they're old-school fans, and you have to give 110% for these fans, because once it turns in the crowd at clubs like Birmingham and Millwall, it turns, and that's it. And sadly, that's what happened to Wayne Rooney. That's what happened to Joe Edwards. So you go back to what you know. You know, you get some experience in. You get someone hardened who knows the league, who's experienced in these situations, and you just hope for the best, because at the moment, I don't think anybody's got the formula to get out of it, or we'd be out of it. This is the thing. So we're not out of it. But you try and get some experience, try and get some calmness in there, someone who can relate to the players more to the point, who can have them conversations that, you know, look, I've been here before. This is how I dealt with it. You know, they can share their own experiences. That's what I think that Birmingham will get with Mowbray. I think we'll get that with Harris. I think we're seeing that with Harris. I think your results would be different if Mowbray was in the dugout. I think the young managers, as you pointed out, at QPR and Sheffield Wednesday are doing really well. Are they in a honeymoon period? And is that honeymoon period the right time for them, where the season's, you know, only a few weeks from ending? Maybe they might fall away again next year. But in terms of approach, I don't think anybody can say that they've got it right until you've got that magic number and you're clear.
And you're right in saying that Birmingham and Millwall are proper clubs as well, and it's made for good clashes in the past as well. I mean, I look at the stats between Birmingham and Millwall games. We beat you at the Den last season, but besides that, we've only had one win in 10 games against Millwall, so it's a bit of a bogey team for us. Because I remember, like, in years gone by, we would have beat Millwall, but Millwall's been, like, a real obstacle for us in recent
years. It has been in recent years, like you just said. I think in the last 10, I think we've only lost one. But before that, you know, we took some real hammerings. I've been at the Den where we've been spanked 6-0 and we've had two men sent off. But then I've been in games, not me personally, but I've been at the games where we've took a hammering from Birmingham, what looks on paper to be a hammering. But we've actually played really, really well. We've had created a lot of chances. We got a lot of shots on goal, and there really wasn't much we could do in the game, to the point where even the fans, you know, clapped the players off at the end. So, yeah, Birmingham, is sort of the mantra of the old bogey team has sort of swung a little bit. Although in recent years, probably the last sort of 3 or 4 years, it's kind of stabilised, and it's almost a very atmospheric, very feisty affair. Often ends in a 1-1 or a 0-0 or maybe a late one nicks it. But yeah, I don't think it'll, to spoil the prediction at the end of the pod, I don't think it'll be too different this time around.
And Millwall's approach to the game, how do you sort of see Millwall setting up to beat Birmingham? Because I look at the formations that Harris has played so far, it looks like a sort of 4-4-2 system. So I imagine you're going to try and soak up our pressure and then hit us in the direct way, perhaps not having that target man up front, but still in a way where it's getting it to the front men straight away rather than having the tippy-tappy stuff around the middle.
I think that will be Harris's approach. And the problem we've got is with three games in a week and a few guys have picked up knocks. And with this style of play, playing out of possession is so much harder on the body than it is playing with possession. You know, you get tired quicker, legs go. And when, you know, people like George Saville, who've played a lot of football, they're not young spring chickens anymore. So I think Harris will make changes. Now, I don't know if that will change the approach to how we'll set up, which would be, you know, very resolute defending, probably two banks of five with one man up top pressing and just forcing you out wide. We like to force teams out wide. We like to keep tight in the middle and you've got to try and beat us with a cross. I think we'll see something similar. Harris hasn't been very happy with how we've used the ball in possession. We give it away too cheaply. And we did Tuesday night against Blackburn and that ultimately gave them the way back into the game, which saw the draw. Because other than that, we really didn't pose the threat from Blackburn. So I think it would be very cagey, very tight. I don't think Harris has changed too much in terms of the way we're going to play. But we'll definitely see different personnel just because of the nature of the Championship, where Tuesday, Saturday suddenly takes its toll.
And finally, you teased it a bit there. What are you thinking for the scoreline?
See, I was on another podcast where I went a bit brave. And now, so we have Jimmy's Day annually. And Jimmy's Day is on Saturday when we host Birmingham. For those people that don't know your end, Jimmy Mizzen is a Millwall football fan who 16 years ago was unprovokedly, sadly, lost his life to murder. So we have Jimmy's Day, which is a very, you know, emotional affair. It's a big thing down at Millwall, and Jimmy's family will be there. And so the emotions will be quite high. The den will be packed as well. I was edging on the verge of a 2-0 Millwall win, just because my reasons being that Tony Mowbray's not in the dugout. We picked up 7 points out of nine. I don't think you've won in three. The occasion with it being Jimmy's Day. But we've got some issues with the striker position at the moment, you know, and tired legs. So the 2-0 could very easily be a 1-1. I don't think Birmingham will set up to try and go and win the game. I think they will see a point away from Millwall as being a good point. It keeps us at arm's length with yourselves. I don't think both teams will want to lose the game. So, yeah, very, very cagey. But I did hinder on the path of a 2-0. But, yeah, I think 1-1 may probably be the best outcome based on the circumstances.
That tends to be what happens, don't it? When teams down the bottom playing each other, you don't want to give away too much, do you? Very finally, I do have to ask you about the bottom three. What are you predicting for your bottom three? Because I asked different people on this podcast and everyone has a different answer.
Well, I'm going to go with Rotherham are down. I mean, if Rotherham get out of it, then Jesus Christ, you just promote them if they manage to get out of that with 19 points. But I'm going to say Sheffield Wednesday and Stoke go down. I think Stoke have got a lot more problems than just what's on the field. I think they're on the verge of sacking Schumacher. And then to get someone in, if they can't bring in someone who's already been at the club, it's going to take weeks for them to work out. So I think Stoke are in big trouble. It was a toss-up between Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield. But I just think that Huddersfield's game's coming up. You know, we've still got to go to Huddersfield as well. And Sheffield Wednesday really are playing some good football and they're scoring some goals. And the games that they've lost recently, they've not been hammered. They've not been beat. You know, they had a real good result the other week. So I was predicting Huddersfield to go down, but I think it'd be them and Stoke. And Sheffield Wednesday might tease it a little bit, maybe down to the final day. But I think Birmingham, QPR and Millwall will be safe.
Well, fingers crossed for that. Thank you so much for your time, Jay. If you just want to shout out anything that's going on your side, videos you've got coming up.
So we do the podcast, That Millwall Podcast, and, you know, we do with Chaps. He does the after-game analysis, which is really in-depth, which is really good. We do our pre-match and our post-match as well. So, yeah, if you fans want to jump on there and give that a go, then we'll do the same likewise with yours. And I wish you all the best for your channel. And Blues fans that travel down, have a safe journey and a safe journey home.
Brilliant. Yeah, two proper football clubs, as you rightly put it. Sure, it's going to be a good occasion at the Den. And we'll have a live lounge reaction as well as Tommy's watch along as well to the game. Be sure to like, share, comment, subscribe. Most importantly, keep right on.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go, your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.